Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about due diligence during fundraising.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
And one of the reasons we're talking about this, the main reason, is because this is a place where your fundraising, if you're looking to fundraise, can go wrong. And it goes wrong because what happens is you get into your fundraise, and it could be any stage. It could be a pre-seed round, a seed round, series A round, later on. And you've got, you know, your term sheet. And now you're like, okay, I'm going to sign this thing. You sign this thing. And then what everybody calls due diligence starts. And that typically happens for most rounds. I think pre-seed, seed rounds, sometimes it doesn't happen unless you have like a lead investor. And during this period, basically, your company is getting assessed almost in a different way again around everything that's going on in the business, whether it's some of the metrics that you have, if you have those, the kind of money and how you've been managing it and the cash flow and what's going on there, and whether the numbers that they heard from you pre-diligence, or not even pre-diligence, but during the fundraise process, it is actually true. Like, are those things actually what's going on in the business? Now, another aspect of due diligence is oftentimes you have like a data room and you have a bunch of your financials there. You have a bunch of your case studies from customers and you have a lot of your data there about your business, whether it's your retention or your growth or your engagement. And that is already being shared with folks during the fundraising process, even before term sheet signed. So there's a bunch of different ways due diligence can happen. Now, the problem, and then Stelly, I want to hear your kind of take on some of this, because I think there's a lot of problems with diligence and where things can go wrong. And one of the biggest problems is you just don't have that material altogether. Yeah. So you're not ready. Yeah. You're not actually ready to raise money if you're not ready for diligence, due diligence.
Yeah, that's probably a really big problem, because what happens is focus all your energy on fundraising. You focus all your energy on the story, on relationship. You start the process. And then when due diligence starts, you scramble. And one of the things that needs to be kept in mind here is that fundraising to a big degree is about communicating confidently the story of your company, outlining the future of it, and getting people excited to want to be part of that bright future.
Yes.
And so for you, in order to tell that story confidently, you need to have a good grasp over the numbers, and you cannot get into a scramble where they ask you things you don't have answers to, or even worse, they ask you things you think you have the answers, you give those answers confidently, and then they discover, or you discover in the process of putting the material together, the financials together, that you were wrong, that the numbers aren't what you remembered your buddy saying in an email 18 months ago, you know, or whatever, the numbers that you thought were correct because, you know, somebody on the team was putting together the accounting numbers in a spreadsheet or QuickBooks, and all of a sudden you realize some of these numbers don't add up, or your accounting practices were wrong, or the way that you did the financial numbers or you run your metrics was not industry standard or wrong. And so if at any point during the due diligence process you panic or you scramble, it's not just about finding that number, it's that it ruins your confidence, right? And it instills lack of confidence for the investors as well. And so now what you want to do is you want to create an upward spiral of confidence and excitement between you and the investor. What is happening is very quickly that can turn into a downward spiral where they look at something, they get confused and ask you, which then confuses you, and you go try to figure out what really is going on, which then you go back to them all confused and apologetic that the thing that you told them wasn't really true, which then makes them even more critical. So they want to dig into more numbers and ask you for even more stuff. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the whole thing collapses on into itself. And you make a presentation, all of a sudden, you know, your voice cracks a little bit and you're a bit more sweaty than usual. And you're just like a little bit more, you know, giving people ranges versus specific numbers and direction. And I think people forget that the most important thing to manage during that entire time is your emotional state, is the excitement and the confidence that you communicate through direct verbal communication, non-direct verbal communication. And if during the due diligence process, you or they or both sides figure out that something wasn't prepared, something isn't right, it's going to kill the mood in the room, and therefore it's going to kill the deal.
That's exactly right. And that's the reason you need to get this right. Diligence is something that if you don't get it right and you don't have your ducks in a row about the business, how can you expect the investors to trust you? It does boil down to trust, and it can be easily lost during this phase. And so the prep you do to make sure that all your ducks are in a row are really important. It's the one thing that I think founders don't realize. And one of the reasons is at the earliest stages, there's not much diligence, right? There's a little bit here and there, but there's not much, because you might not have any revenue. You might be pre-product even, or you might be really early stages of a product. So there's not much data or anything like that. But what ends up happening is that the more you grow, the more you scale, there will be information that's really critical that you want to share with investors during diligence. That's information like your financials, data about your company and your business, your team members, how much each person is getting paid, all those kinds of things, revenue that you're making, how it's coming in, who's paying you. All these things can be part of the diligence process, depending on, you know, how much your investors want to scrutinize you. But also, like, this is just good practices as a business to be able to have easy access to this information. It's the number one thing that I see founders just not paying any attention to, because they feel like it's not important. They don't think about it. But at the end of the day, like, good management of the information about your company is really what I'm talking about. Organized, structured. You know, I see so many companies with like a whole bunch of like folders in Google Drive or Dropbox, like organized and set up correctly. And then at some point, like, someone's not maintaining it because the founder gets busy or the person who's maintaining it gets busy, and then it goes crazy. And then they're scrambling to get it all together again, if they ever did it in the first place, right before a fundraise.
Yeah. And so, okay. So one quick thing before we wrap up the episode. I know I need to have grasp over my numbers. I know I need to be prepared for due diligence if my startup and I want to raise money. Now, as you said, when you have been around for 6 weeks and you have a landing page, you know, with no users and a team that just started, there's not a lot that you have to prep. That's the beauty of doing seed rounds. They're very kind of simple. But eventually, and hopefully as you succeed, you might want to raise a Series A or Series B. You now have a bunch of employees, you have customers, you have revenue, you have taxes, you have tons of metrics, different revenue streams, different products. There's complexity. There's a real business there. And so now, before you go out and to raise money, you need to realize that there's going to be due diligence, that there's some prep work you should do. What are some simple kind of preemptive things that founders should know about or founders should do in order to be in a better position when they do fundraising and when they have to go inevitably through some due diligence from investors? What are maybe some like surefire quick tips that are easy to implement, but lots of founders forget, and then they pay a big price on that?
Love that. As always, one of the tips that I have around this is really basic. And I know we can go back and forth for a bit, but like one of them is like have an org chart. Even if there's only three or four of you, like just have an org chart, have some structure, save that, put it somewhere. And that should also include your hiring plan of the people you want to hire next.
I love that. The next tip that I'll give is a more generic one, but I think it's an important one, is don't ignore your finances. Don't ignore the areas that are not exciting to you, right? Embrace it. It's not rocket science. Lots and lots of other people have figured this out. And don't allow yourself the excuse, this isn't my thing. I'm not paying attention because it's not fun. I don't have a finance background. I don't have a degree. I'm not very data-driven. I'm more creative. I'm more responsible for sales, or I'm more responsible for engineering and technology. It doesn't fucking matter. If you're one of the founders, you're responsible for the business. Being responsible for the business means being responsible for the data, being responsible for your finances, being responsible for your documentations, being responsible for the household of this business to be in good order. So don't allow yourself these little excuses that then empower laziness, which then create panic, scramble-induced moments when you realize, shit, my in-laws are showing up this morning and the house is a dumpster and I want to impress them and I have to run around and I have 10 minutes to make this not look as terrible. You're not a teenager. You're somebody that's a founder that has taken a lot of responsibility and you're asking for people to give you a ton of money. Right? So you better show that you can responsibly deal with it. So one part of it is to change your attitude.